Are you a tree care professional looking to take your business to the next level? Then the Executive Arborist Workshop hosted by TCIA is just what you need. Our workshops provide a unique opportunity for you to learn from other business owners, improve your skills, and cultivate a safety culture that is second to none. Join us in Charleston, South Carolina from May 1st to the 3rd to learn how to grow your business and level up your skills, or join us in San Diego, California from August 7th through the 9th to hear from top safety professionals about how you can improve your business. This is a chance for you to take your business to the next level and make it more profitable, so don't wait. Visit our website at eaw.tcia.org to learn more and to register today. We all know the tree care industry faces unique hazards every day. That's why the Tree Care Industry Association Foundation is on a mission to advance safety in our field. Our goal? To ensure everyone has the knowledge, education, and training they need to stay safe on the job. Through our Arborist Safety Training Institute, we offer a variety of safety training programs that help minimize risk and save lives. But we can't do it alone. We need your support to make a real impact. Become an advocate for tree care safety today. Visit www.tciaf.org to learn more about the TCIA Foundation and how you can get involved. Together, we can create a safer future for the tree care industry.
Well, thanks for having me, Joel. My name is Eric Peterson with Arborist Insurance. I've been working in the tree care industry since 2003 when I graduated from Wisconsin Stevens Point as an arborist. Worked in the field for a little bit. Then I joined the insurance industry with my family's agency and really spent the last 20 years now focusing on the tree care world, trying to help them professionalize, become safer, and certainly have the proper insurance coverage. Through that whole process, really, we've built a great focus upon risk management. And I think the risk management background or mindset that we're trying to help the tree care industry have is super important. And I appreciate you having me on the show to talk about that today.
Yeah, thank you for being on. And one of the questions I like to ask people when they get on the show is, how did they get into the tree care industry? Because find out a lot of people just kind of fell into it or ended up into it. Did you want to end up in the tree care industry, or was this not your first choice?
Yeah, so I was a forestry major at Stevens Point. So my goal was to be in the industry in some level. I worked for a parks department right away and did the actual work of an arborist, which was great. And unfortunately was a low man on the list, and budget cuts came through and I was one of the people that got axed out. So then I had the reality right away in my professional working career of changing or doing something with my career. And I asked my father if I could work for him, which I had done on some of the summer and spring breaks over the college career. But the opportunity to join both my arborist forestry background with the insurance industry was a great opportunity. So that's really how I got into it, from a school perspective first, in the field a little bit, and now as a professional in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a big change from, you know, I think that's kind of the thing that we use sometimes. It's like, oh, you know, do you want to be in insurance or do you want to be outside? So were you always kind of passionate about that section of it, or was it just an opportunity that was available and you found a way to make it into your own?
You know, it's a great question, because growing up as a child in an insurance agency household, I knew, you know, the lifestyle that it provided for my family, what my dad did for us. I also saw he did a lot of home and auto insurance. So he was working a lot of nights and weekends. And I didn't want to do that for myself. So when I got into the insurance realm, I wanted to focus on businesses. And that was just a logical connection to the tree care space. So I do miss being outside. I do miss getting dirty. I totally have office hands now. I totally am... the cold weather, the hot weather, that bothers me now because I've been used to being in the office, but I do miss being out there. And I think what's neat about the tree care industry is, and what we do with our company is, we're still able to get in front of people. We're still able to get in the shop and smell the smells and maybe not get dirty from a daily basis like, you know, our members are, but it's still a factor that I'm not just always sitting at a desk looking at a computer. We are out in the field. And I think that's really where that part of it gets satisfied for me.
Yeah, I mean, good for you. I saw what my dad did, and I was like, I'm never going to do that. You know, but I think you have a good perspective on the industry, you know, having worked so many parts of it. There's a lot to go off of. And, you know, I kind of want to get into why we're having you on the podcast is risk management was one of the things that was brought up when people were proposing you as a guest to be on the podcast. So in your own words, what is risk management and how does it apply to your industry?
Risk management to me is really the mindset of trying to do something before something bad happens. You look at what could possibly happen within your business. You either make a management decision to stop doing that operation or that service or get rid of that employee, or you make a decision to manage it in a way that if you have a policy or procedure, if you buy new equipment, if you institute a different safety mechanism or whatever it might be, all those different things are risk management. And every one of us practices risk management every day. We're just not conscious about it. And really, my whole take on it is the purchase of insurance is risk management, right? But it's only part of risk management. And my whole take on it is really to help the tree care companies be aware that every move and decision that they're making has an element of risk to it. And that if they're conscious about how they're looking at their company and their strategy and what they're doing, they're practicing risk management. And it's okay to assume risk. You have to assume risk to do tree work, to be in any business, really. But I want to have the tree care owner understand that this is the risk that I'm able to and accepting within my company. I always do say insurance is not risk management. And really what I mean by that is if you can't do anything else about an exposure to your business, then you buy insurance, right? If you don't have a large enough bank account to pay a multi-million dollar lawsuit for an auto accident, then you buy insurance for that, right? You can have all the controls in place, but you can't pay that large bill. So there's always a need for insurance. But I think the misnomer is when you buy insurance, that's risk management in it itself. And it's not. There's way more to it. I think the words risk management, insurance, they get stuffy. They get tossed around and people kind of glaze over. It seems like I don't want to deal with that right now, or it might seem too complicated or convoluted. And really, I want to help the tree care industry understand that you're doing it already, but let's just maybe be a little more focused, a little more aware of how we can be better at managing the risk that we face every day. If that makes sense.
It does make sense, but there's a lot to unpack there. So I think the first thing, you know, for my sake and for everybody's listening sake is a specific example of what you would consider risk management. We have the high level now. So now it would be like one specific example in a tree care company that you would consider risk management.
Yeah. So for example, let's take your driver management. We all have drivers. Many companies have problems with driving records and employees, not maybe from the insurance perspective, I'm bringing insurance into this, but insurance company won't let that driver drive for them because of their MVR, motor vehicle record. Well, one risk management way is putting in together a nice policy or procedure that outlines what's acceptable from a driving guideline perspective. So if your employee has one accident and one speeding ticket, is that acceptable to you? Is the risk associated with that driver acceptable to you to take on? So if they have a operating while under the intoxicated or a revoked suspension, operating while suspended, any of those major violations, is that risk enough or too much for your company? So instituting some sort of guidelines for your drivers to understand that if they do this on their own and they get a drunk driving or a major accident that they're involved in, that could jeopardize their driving abilities in the company, right? That limits some of the exposure that owner has if that employee cannot drive for them. So that's an example of putting together a management or administration policy or procedure that controls the risk associated with your fleet out on the road.
Yeah, and how do you put something like that together, right? Like going back now to a starting point, is this all by feeling? Because you said it's not all about like insurance, because if you can't pay for this, then you, sorry, I'm just overwhelmed, but where do you start?
Yeah, really I like to simplify it by saying that you have five things. So you look at your business, you have your people, right? And that's your employees, your subcontractors. You have other people. Those are your customers, maybe some vendors. You have your stuff, you know, all the contents, all of your equipment, all of your vehicle, you know, your stuff, your property. You have your vehicles, all of obviously the trailers, trucks, all that stuff. And then you have yourself. Those are the five areas, if we want to simplify it, that I like to have a business owner think about from a risk perspective. So then we break it down, your people. Okay, well, typically you're required to have workers' comp coverage for their injuries. That's one way to cover yourself from a risk management perspective, but that's required by law, right? So fine, you got to have a work comp policy. What else can you do for your people? Well, you have your IIPP policy. You have your return to work policy so that if they do get hurt, you have a job waiting for them. You buy them the personal protective equipment. You put in the policies and procedures in place to keep them safe and coming back every day, right? So that's the risk management around your people. Then if you talk about, you know, other people, how do we keep other people safe on the job site? Well, we maybe rope off the job site or the drop zone at least. We make sure we have cones and the job site set up properly so people are aware that tree work is being done. We have contracts that we sign with our subcontractors that outlines the responsibilities between your tree care company and the subcontractor. Those are ways that you manage the risk associated with other people. If you look at your stuff, certainly you could, you know, you put your equipment in the shop overnight so that's protected from the weather elements. It's protected maybe from theft. If you get a security alarm, that's another way to manage your risk with your stuff. Vehicles, like we said, drivers, you got to manage the drivers that are driving the vehicles, but also how are you storing them? What do you do with it? Where, when you're buying new equipment versus older equipment, are you doing your annual inspections? Those type of questions on a risk. And the last thing, yourself, what happens if you as the owner get hit by that proverbial bus, right? Do you have disability income for yourself? Do you have a succession plan or a backup plan for your business? I just ran through those really quick, Joe. But that's kind of the concept. If you look at those five areas, that's how you can start breaking it down. And it should happen a lot slower than what I just rattled off in 30 seconds there, and more in-depth thought process. But simplifying it in those five areas, I think, is really the easiest way for me to explain what risk management means to me.
Yeah, and it all, you know, is coming together. And, you know, for me, that other question, because you're, you know, in the insurance industry, where does risk management end and insurance begin?
Yeah, they are intertwined, right? But I always like to say that insurance is the last step. So we can avoid doing something, then you don't need insurance if you're not doing it anymore. Take snow removal, for instance. A lot of tree care companies will do snow removal in the winter times in the northern climate. But if they stop doing that, then it's no longer an exposure for them. Some can't avoid it, but if you can't avoid it, then we do other things. So the first one's avoiding it. Stop doing what you're doing so you can't have a loss there. Can't have an injury, can't have an accident if you're not doing it. The second one is you can retain some of the risk, meaning I know that I have maybe $50,000 of equipment sitting in my shop. I don't want to pay someone, an insurance company, to cover that. I'm going to retain that. I'm going to take it on. I can cover that with my bank account. I'm okay with it, but I'm consciously making that decision to self-insure or retain that risk. You can reduce the risk. Reducing the risk simply means if something happens, an injury, for instance, if we're prepared for an injury, the amount that injury impacts our business from a dollar or time perspective can be reduced if we have a good reporting procedure in place, a light duty policy where they get back to work. So that's another risk management move, not insurance. And the last part is transferring the risk, and that's buying insurance. I can't do anything about that multi-million dollar auto claim or auto accident lawsuit. So I'm going to transfer that to an insurance company and buy an insurance policy. I pay a small amount for a large amount of coverage. So that's where insurance fits into risk management. It's really, to me, at the end of that process, when I can't do anything else about that exposure, I transfer it to someone else. I pay a premium. I pay a dollar, you know, a small amount to get someone else to cover the bigger part.
Yeah, and I got to ask the question, do you think insurance gets a bad rap, like just a little bit, as kind of, It feels like second nature here if you're a TCIA member or if you've been part of TCIA where insurance is the, immediate need for you to even become a member. But sometimes I think we skip over the part where we talk about risk management, other kind of stuff where we just go, well, get insurance and then you can come. But really having insurance doesn't make you a safe company.
Right.
It just makes you insured.
That's correct on so many levels. Yeah, absolutely. The insurance industry does get a bad rap. Some of it's legit or warranted, I should say, because there are some people get taken advantage of within the insurance industry. That happens, unfortunately. I wish it didn't. It would make my job easier if it didn't. But really what it is there are so many little tiny clauses and words that have big impacts on the way coverages work. And if you don't have an understanding of what is intended in the insurance policy with all the phrases and the fine print, you are going to be unhappy if something happens, even if the policy should or shouldn't have paid it. You know, the language of the policy is what it is. And if you don't understand that going into it, that's where people get frustrated, upset, and feel this isn't right. So, yeah, it's the insurance industry is... Everything is responsive. So if you look at the insurance policies, that's 35, 40 pages deep, 200 pages deep, whatever it is, all of those, all the language in there is from some lawsuit at some point where an attorney argued that this should be covered or this shouldn't be covered, and then they had to clarify it. So it's all based in the past examples and legalese, and that's what makes it confusing, and that's what makes it hard for the average tree care company to really understand, okay, what am I covered for and what am I not? That's where I feel the bad rap comes from, because it's a lot of fine print. It's why we specialize in the tree care space, so we know the coverages. And I think that's really important to make sure that the partner, that agent partner that you're working with, understands the language in each policy. Not just, hey, I have coverage. Well, great. Well, what are you covered for? What are you not covered for?
Yeah. And speaking coverage, does your risk management that you do coincide with your coverage that you need or the rates that you get from your insurance plan overall?
Yeah, great question. The amount that you pay on your insurance is directly related to what you're doing in risk management world. Absolutely. Now, every insurance company will start with their base rates at a certain level and either surcharge or credit that rate based on the individual characteristics of that company. So if you're a company that has the safety programs in place, the return to work, the driver management, the injury management, all those policies, procedures that we all really know we should have, or at least know that we need to do more on, if we have that and we present it to the insurance company, they will see that you are making every effort to become a safer company, to have less accidents, less injuries, and they should offer you a lower rate. That's the communication that every tree care company needs to have with their agent so that the agent can sell them as a business to the insurance company. One thing that I think is important for people to listen to know is insurance companies want to have what we call a loss ratio, meaning the claims that they pay out to the dollars of premium that they take in of at least 60% or lower. 60% is the border of them making money actually on that account. They have their fixed costs, their building, their employees, and all that. That equates to about 40% of every premium dollar that's paid. So if they're paying out more than 60 cents per dollar in claims, they're going to be losing money. And one thing is for sure, and why people might not like the insurance industry doesn't lose year after year after year. They have actuaries, they have stats, they have data, they have all this information to make sure that they don't lose. They might lose on individual claim, they might lose 1 year at a time, but they don't lose over time. So they're going to make adjustments in the rates that they charge based on the claims that they see. And they make the charge based on what they feel is going to happen with a company, with an individual tree care company. So it's if you can show an insurance company how you're safer or how you're not going to have claims, or if you're going to have a claim, it's going to be smaller because you're ready for it. That's what they want to see to offer the lowest rates. And I think that's probably the biggest part. If anybody gets anything out of this podcast, that your risk management practices that you're doing will directly relate to your premiums. And the more you do up front, the better off you're going to be long term, because you're going to have less claims, you're going to have less accidents, you're going to have you're going to become a better, more profitable company to the insurance world, and they're going to reward you for it. So that's probably the best message we can give on this podcast, is risk management is a huge part of the cost of your insurance.
Yeah. And resources, you know, to be used, what kind of resources do you recommend? I know, you know, from working at TCIA that we have, you know, the business consultant on staff, and, you know, we have our membership team that's more than happy to help you talk through, try to figure that stuff out. You know, we have the CTSP program. We have all of these kind of programs that we offer, you know, through TCIA, but also expanding out, what other resources do you know that help, you know, increase your risk management?
Yeah, starting with TCIA. I mean, the templates, the forms, your IIP, the injury illness prevention policy that you guys have, the tailgate safety program that TCIA has, those are fantastic documents that every tree care company should start with, because they're readily available as a member. They're relatively inexpensive for what it is. It's great. And then building out that, certainly you want to make sure that you have the employee handbook. I think TCIA has a copy of that for members. Employee handbook sets up the fundamental employee management practices for your company. That's a risk management move, just having that handbook, because that tells your employees how you're going to handle certain situations. If you don't have that through TCI or whatever, an employment law attorney will have that, be able to help you with it tremendously, because we all know employees are probably their biggest asset, but they're also our biggest source of exposure for lawsuits internally, lawsuits externally, driving, like we said. So hiring and managing employees is something that's massively important. I'm getting off topic with your question about resources, but certainly TCIA has a tremendous amount of resources. Your accountant is going to help give you hopefully the financial resources or education from a risk perspective, a tax perspective. Your insurance agent should be able to help you from a lot of other areas in the safety world, in the workers' comp, injury management. I keep saying that, but injury management's key. Making sure if there is an injury, how we're handling that in the work comp system matters right away, day one, right when that injury happens. If we don't manage it correctly and you're not working with the insurance agency and company to manage that from the beginning, that claim can turn into something that it shouldn't be. It can turn into a monster of its own. So your resources, really, your insurance agent, your attorney, your accountant, those are all team members in your quote unquote board of directors, right? And your own business that you should be utilizing. TCIA needs to be on that board, and I'm using air quotes for the people just listening in, the board of directors, that your valued business advisors, right? That will help you in all these different areas. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, it's daunting though, you know,
yeah.
Especially if you're not confident that what you have in place is going to be 100% or where you want it to be. I think it's a really big step that I think we, as you know, an organization, as TCIA, tell people, like, hey, be insured, you know, be safe, follow the rules and try to be a better, you know, influence on the industry around you. But then we also talk about these very hyper-specific things. And as somebody who's not a business owner, or even somebody who may be on the ground crew, their thoughts about the business don't always correlate with, you know, as an owner or the person who may be responsible for buying the insurance and for planning out these safety programs. You're not always lined up. So communicating with employees, how does that work, right? So, you know, you said employees are one of the biggest forms of exposure and also one of the biggest forms of like coverage. How do you, you know, talk with your employees where you can't just lecture and be like, hey, if you do this, that's bad. You know, at some point, right, if you have that employee who's not listening, you have to, you know, we're trying to mitigate risk, right?
Yeah. The industry and individuals, we talk a lot about the safety culture or the culture of our organization. And really what you're mentioning then, the communication between an employer and employee, really, I think ultimately the most successful companies, tree care companies that I've seen, are the ones that they care. It's as simple as that. Joe, I care about you. I want to make sure you go home every night to your wife, to your kids, to your dog, whoever means something to you, and really, truly investing in that person and caring about them, knowing that if Joe is taken care of and feels safe, will work hard for the company wins. So the culture is really, the communication is huge. And then being able to check in with each employee and find out what their issues and questions are. So we have a safety culture assessment we do with our clients where they actually send it to their team members and get their feedback on overall thoughts and feelings about safety, about management and that, about the written policies and procedures. Do we have this? Do I understand it? And then about training, right? I don't feel like I got enough training in that topic. I need more, or I'm good there. That's the open communication that needs to happen between employer and employee that allows the employer some insight into the brain of the employee and allows the employee to give feedback, hopefully, again, in the culture world, in a structured, positive, hey, they're looking out for me mindset. So really, if you're just starting out building a tree care company, to me, culture and getting people that align with your personal values is the biggest thing. And we all know the struggles of getting employees in the industry right now. And everyone that listens to this will have a personal experience of someone they hired that didn't fit because they needed a body. We all do it. No matter what industry we're in, we all do it. And it really, until you make that mistake of hiring that person that you know you shouldn't have, lean on others and just try not to make that mistake, because it's, and when you do, don't worry about it, because it happens that you're going to have that, but try to move through it as quick as possible, because really with the relationship between employer and employee, it is everything. And I think it translates into every area of risk. We were just on a phone call earlier this morning with one of our clients who really has embraced the "I care about you" mentality. I mean, that's just how he's built his business. And I could tell on the call with his employees, they're engaged in what we were talking about. We were talking about workers' comp, and they were there, attentive. They're paying attention. They wanted to know. They understood that this is an important part for them and that it was maybe required by law with worker comp, but a benefit nonetheless that the employer was doing for them. And they were engaged with it. And that had nothing to do with my call. It had everything to do with the culture that they've built in their business beforehand, the trust between employer and employee. I don't know where we went down that path, if that it makes sense to the listeners, but that's really ultimately what I believe in.
It makes sense too, right? Because even though if it's required by law, you can tell if somebody's begrudgingly doing this because it's required, or if they're willingly doing it. And that affects their perception. That affects how safely they'll work. It gives them that kind of attitude where they're not going to be like, "Oh, I don't want to do this," or "I'm just trying to get this done fast so I can get out of here and get home because my boss doesn't care about me."
Correct. Absolutely. 100% correct.
Like you said, it's part of your five factors. That is your employees, but it also is yourself, right? How you carry yourself also comes down to your employees. So they're all still very interconnected.
Yep. To get back to your question on how do you get started in doing risk management, a lot of companies, as you know, start out as the arborist and they want to run their own business, but they are tree people first. And that's where you need to build your team, your board of directors, build your team so that you can get the resources and learn from people that have helped others or have gone through it themselves. So you don't have to learn the hard lessons and that take longer and are more expensive. The TCIA peer-to-peer group, now you guys have more peer-to-peer groups. It's fantastic. Those are awesome places, you know, Joe, awesome places mm-hmm. for companies to learn. I know that the people say they're too expensive, right? That's the feedback that people say. But if you want to make a mistake in your business and not put something into place that you could have learned in the peer-to-peer, you're going to pay a lot more than the peer-to-peer group price. So that's a resource we need to make sure we talk about and get more people involved with. I'm so happy that TCIA is doing more of them. And I really hope that that continues to grow, because one-on-one learning from other tree care owners, learning from your board of directors, if you will, that's how companies succeed faster and easier. And less, there are less frustrations, less headaches.
Well, see, I'm happy you're being the TCAA shill this time, because that's usually my job. And, you know, it's more authentic when it comes from somebody else. But it's kind of like all these things you're talking about for risk mitigation, where you invest into the tools before an accident happens, and then you're not paying out when something does happen. You know, you're making sure you have all these things in place. Sure, it may hypothetically cost, let's say, $500 to speak with a lawyer or somebody about, you know, making sure all your stuff's in place. But, you know, it costs $500,000 for a lawsuit in case something does happen. So which one would you rather pay? It's kind of that whole insurance thing, right? Like, oh, why am I paying, for me, why am I paying $15 a month for homeowners insurance on my apartment, you know, if it burns down to the ground? Well, I guess if it ever did, then it's probably worth paying that $15 versus losing, like, my three things I have in my apartment. But, you know, that's a different story. But I'm assuming everybody who's listening to this podcast is already insured. You know, if they're not insured, everybody probably knows what to do, you know, who to reach out to. But one of the questions I have for you, right, and this comes from my marketing side and my marketing background, is I've heard the horror stories about, you know, individuals hiring tree care companies that aren't insured, and then something bad happens, and then the individual is now responsible for everything that goes on. So as a company who is insured, how do you market your insurance as a benefit without boring, you know, the homeowner or going over their head with a lot of technical terms?
That's a great question, and one that we do talk about with our clients quite a bit. So with TCIA membership, you need to provide your certificate of insurance to TCIA as a tree care company to get the insurance or to get the membership. I have clients that will include a copy of the certificate on their proposal. It's part of their proposal. It's just how they talk about their business. Hey, we are an insured. We're, if they're an accredited company, talk about accreditation first. Accredited company, we have all the right insurance for you. You're protected that way. Here's a copy of the insurance right in the proposal. We have some companies that say, hey, when you're on the job site, if you want to tell, you know, homeowner wants to have their insurance policy sent right to them, we send the certificate right to the homeowner. So it can happen either way, but it should be part of your professionalism pitch. Why should we choose XYZ Tree Care? Well, we should choose them because they are the certified arborist, the accredited company. They have the right insurance, and they know how to get the job done correctly and safely and efficiently. I think there is a gap where homeowners don't understand, and it varies by region and state jurisdiction, but homeowners unfortunately don't understand the risk they take on when they hire an uninsured contractor. I wish I could change that overnight. We can't. We can only change it one-on-one interactions with the clients and people that we meet. But I do think homeowners take on more risk than they are aware of when they're hiring someone. And if you're not asking for an insurance certificate in your daily life, you can't expect your clients and customers to ask for it when you show up to do tree work. So if they're not asking for it, and you're not pushing it, or not pushing it, but making it available to them and teaching them and educating them about the importance of it, we won't collectively get past it. I think I'm blessed to be in the Milwaukee area where we have a lot of great companies, a lot of accredited companies, a lot of certified arborists in this area. There's a lot of professional tree care that happens in my local area. And I think collectively the marketplace understands that a little bit better, that there are professional tree care companies and there's non-professional ones. But that's not like it in every place across this country at all. Plenty of places are almost the Wild West, where there isn't that following or community understanding of professional tree care and why that matters.
No, you have to ride that fine line between, you know, being super honest with the homeowners about what happens if they hire somebody uninsured. And, you know, telling them the truth. I think from, you know, a story I have is there was a tree care company going around my parents' neighborhood, and, you know, my parents are looking into them for, you know, tree care services. The neighbors are looking into them for tree care services. They weren't a TCIA member, which I fought my parents tooth and nail on that, but, you know, Eventually they gave in, but you know, I was like, are you kidding me? Really? But I remember going to my neighbor's houses and, you know, just kind of having those conversations with them. I've known them since I was little. So, you know, just talking with them about like why they're going to hire these guys. I'm like, well, they're cheaper. I was like, all right, so let's just take a look at, you know, who they are. And I went into our system and found out that they weren't a member, and then, you know, found out their information and looked up their company, and you found their website, and it's barely a website, right? You know, and then I asked, are they insured? And they go, no, but that doesn't really matter because I'm insured. And, you know, I think there was that just, they're an older generation, you know, they're 60 plus, that just may be a misconception that, you know, everything will be fine or okay, or that nothing will go wrong. But as somebody on the other end who's seen everything that can go wrong, even I found it really hard to get them out of that mindset of like the cheaper company was better because they were shopping by price, not by, like you said. So I don't know if like attaching the insurance certificate would have meant anything to them or if they just would have glossed over it. So, I mean, they're aging out. So I guess that's not a bad thing. But as we get to the you know, the younger people or the new homeowners, do you think that like a new perspective needs to be taken like within your website or anything else, like your digital content, to advertise that you're insured or to tell, I hate to say, tell a horror story about what happens if you're not insured, but you know what I'm saying with that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think anything time you're using fear in sales, it can be, you got to be careful with it, right? Telling the, and that's what we do every day, right? Insurance, we're talking about what could happen, Joe, to your business if you don't do X, Y, and Z. So, but if you're doing it with a customer in a way that supports them and doesn't demean them or doesn't make them feel like this needs to be this way, you're a moron for thinking that, you can't do that. You have to do it in a supportive way, in an educational way that allows them to, you know, almost come to the realization on their own. And you can do that in a simple question format. If that contractor, that tree care company comes to your house and someone gets injured, who is going to pay for that if they don't have insurance? Your parents said, well, we will. Do you want that claim on your homeowner's policy for someone else that had nothing to do with your family and your property? Pretty soon they're like, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that. You're right. We should make sure the person that's responsible is the one that's paying for that. But yeah, anytime you're using fear in a sales stat, you got to be careful. So really, I think building the value from the initial conversation, when that person calls, you're qualifying them. This is something that we do with some of our sales and marketing customers that we have. You do that. You from the very beginning, you start to build your value proposition from the initial phone call or web request. The questions that you ask them from the beginning will dictate how your value is perceived throughout the sales process and ultimately then after the work is being done. So I think that's a part of the tree care industry, that space that needs to be improved upon, is selling that value. And how do you do that right away? It doesn't start or doesn't happen unless you don't know who you are as a company. You don't believe in what you have from a knowledge, from a maybe equipment difference, from a employee difference. You know, if you don't know who you are and why you really are there and what value you bring to the trees, the landscape, the community, it's hard to sell that value about insurance as one piece of that later on. I dug into more and deeper on that, but really I believe it's that culture, it's that core, it's that why, it's who you are as a business that translates. And then the insurance becomes, well, yeah, we have insurance. We take care of our people and we take care of our customers. It's almost a non-issue because it's part of the brand of your tree care company.
Yeah, and I don't think that problem of trying to sell these certain aspects of your tree care business are exclusive to insurance, because there's a lot of other oh, yeah. parts too. You know, being a TCIA member and having to explain that out, and being an accredited company or being a certified arborist, there's a lot of explanation that these tree care companies have to do in the sales process to differentiate themselves. And I'm glad you brought up that, like, not every place is created equal. You know, I'm in New Hampshire, and certain parts of New Hampshire are basically the south of the north once you get past certain points. And there are people doing their own tree care work for whatever reason they see fit. And the time that they call, you know, in a company is, you know, either during situations where they should have called them in 5 years ago when they first started doing the work themselves, or, you know, they're just like, I don't want to do it today. So let's get the $500 dude with the pickup truck and chainsaw to come take things down. So I think the education aspect overall is something big that the industry has to work harder than most on actually selling, you know, your various expertises.
Absolutely. And that does, in my personal opinion, really translate into the whole workforce development conversation too, as the world, as the general public understands what professional tree care is, we're going to attract more people to this industry from a recruiting standpoint. Because Joe, before you came to TCIA, I don't know if you had any awareness of what an arborist was.
Not at all.
And most people don't until you get involved with it. Some of the team members that we brought onto our team had no idea, but once they get involved with it, they see how dynamic, how different, how exciting, how much value the trees and the tree care companies provide to the individual community, that it's a great industry. We all know that. That's why we play here. That's why we stay here. But the general public, that education piece is huge. I get on a soapbox with that, but it really is. And it does help with an industry advocate like the TCIA to help keep promoting that message. ISA promotes the certified arborist message. You know, collectively, we all need to do a better job of promoting professional tree care, because that helps all of us. And it just helps the industry go better. And so many things tie into that. So we could talk for days on that part of it.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of promoting the message, I think this is a good segue point to talk about your podcast that you are starting with ArborRisk. So do you want to tell me a little bit about how that came to be and what your plans are moving forward?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for asking. We had a Facebook group that I was trying to manage. We're trying to get interaction on. Facebook groups are difficult, as you know, but for 2 years we did a monthly Facebook Live video where I would bring on a guest, whether it was someone that was part of our Thrive consulting team or another industry, a trainer, consultant, whatever that might be, would bring them on. We kept them to half an hour Facebook Lives. We got some interaction, live. We didn't get a ton of interaction live because it was still building, but we recorded all of them. And we were looking at it. We have all of this content. We said, why don't we just turn this into a podcast? It's the way a lot of people are consuming the information. So that's really what we did. The start of January 2023, we turned it into the Industry Podcast. So you can get it just where you get every other podcast. Industry is INDUSTREE Podcast. So we capitalize tree at the end, but really it's meant to be topical. So we do it once a month. It's a half hour. I usually bring a guest in that we talk about safety. We talk about marketing. We talk about hiring, recruiting. We'll have a episode coming up here on risk management directly. We do one on insurance, certainly, but it's meant to be a quick snippet of business management, business strategy type topics that tree care companies should know, and just from a different perspective. So it's been a lot of fun. We've been doing it, like I said, for 2 years, but not in the official podcast format. We have to make it a little bit more professionalized and do that kind of stuff. But it's been a lot of fun. And I think it's a great way to get content out there for people, because we know it. People like consuming content this way. And I enjoy having the conversations. The last one I did with Amanda Carpenter from Core Health Solutions. She's a fantastic, fantastic safety promoter and individual that's associated with the tree care industry. And she's just got a great perspective on individual safety and how you can help that individual within your team, that we could have talked for days and we had to cut it down. But those are the type of things that we do on the podcast. So thanks for asking about it.
Yeah. And where can I listen to it? You didn't mention that part either. Well,
you can get it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, the normal places that you can find any podcast. And that's part of what I'm still learning too. Joe, I can do the recording and talking to people, and my team puts it up there, but I know it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the major ones. We're doing more with our social posts so that you can see that. We also do a weekly business tip. So if you guys aren't, if anyone listening is not subscribed to our weekly business tip, Every week it's fresh content about a certain topic. So I mentioned safety. March 2023 here is safety month for us. So all of our weekly tips are safety related. And that's where the conversation with Amanda Carpenter came from. So we tie the podcast to our weekly tips. Next month, April, is risk management month. So they'll all be risk management focused weekly tips and podcast topics. So that's really what we've been up to. It's really fun to build and give content. And again, we want to help the tree care industry get better. We want individuals to come home safe at night and have a business to go back to in the morning. You know, we really, truly believe in helping professionalize this industry because it is so great. You can hopefully hear the passion that I have for the industry. There isn't a person that I've met in this industry that doesn't have some level of passion and engagement and desire to make this better. And that's so cool. It's not like that with every other industry. So it's we know that. It's a special industry, and we want to do our part to help with that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But, you know, as we come up at the end of our time together, I just, you know, want to ask, is there anything that you want to talk about or say that we haven't had a chance to yet?
I appreciate that opportunity. Really, I feel like from an insurance risk management perspective, you really want to make sure that you're working with someone that you feel confident understands the tree care industry. There are some great insurance agents that are part of this organization that are TCIA members. Reach out and work with them. Probably the biggest objection that we hear is that we're not local and you're in the neighborhood that the company that we're working or talking to. And that's true while we're physically not local there, but we're local in the industry. And what the value that TCIA members, the insurance agents that are TCIA members can bring to them is a better, easier, seamless insurance and risk management process that will help them so much further than just getting the piece of paper, the policy. So I would really encourage people to work with an agency that understands the industry, because they'll be able to point them in directions that they probably didn't even know were was available. And we'll be able to point them back to TCIA when they need to and really help them their business from a risk perspective, which ultimately, if we don't control our risk, we don't have a business to go back to. And that's probably my going away message. Joe, I appreciate you asking me that. If you let me keep talking, I'd keep talking for the rest of the today, but I think that's probably the most important message for people to understand.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the TCIA Podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.